So I was outside the other night with my son looking up at the sky, and we were having a great time. And he turned to me and he asked me a question. He said, "Hey, Dad, why are there stars?"
You mean like movie stars?
No, why astronomical stars, he wanted to know.
Oh, wow. What did you say?
Well, I thought he was asking me, like, why do stars exist? You know, why do we have bright stars in the sky? So, of course, I gave him a long physics explanation for, you know, how fusion works and all this kind of stuff.
I wonder what it's like to have your dad be a physics professor.
It's awesome, I'm sure. It's 100% awesome.
I wonder how many times he's just like, "Dad, I just wanted a one-sentence answer."
I once heard him explaining to his friends about black holes, and I thought, hey, that dude is cool because of me.
I think cool is might not be the appropriate adjective here. But was he was he satisfied with your explanation?
No, not at all. In fact, it turns out I totally misunderstood his question. When he asked, why are there stars, he didn't mean, like, why does a star burn? He meant, like, why are there stars plural? Like, why don't we just have one star, right? Or, like, why isn't everything just spread out smoothly in the universe? Why does things clump together to make planets and stars and all that stuff?
Whoa, that is a good question.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's the kind of question kids ask, right? The kind of question you don't necessarily think to ask. It's such a basic, simple question.
That's a question I have, and I'm definitely not 5 years old. Hi, I'm Jorge.
And I'm Daniel.
And welcome to our podcast, Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe.
In which we try to take everything or anything in the universe, even the obvious stuff like stars, and explain it to you. Why is it there? How does it work? Do I have to worry about it? Can I buy one online?
We try to answer the smooth questions and also the lumpy questions.
And today is going to be a bit of a lumpy episode.
Today on the program, we're asking the question... why are there stars?
The universe has a really strange kind of shape. I mean, it's huge, but it's mostly empty, right? Like, there's vast distances between stars and even vaster ones between galaxies. But then you have these hot little points, right? All this matter concentrated in these little dots. It's a really weird arrangement.
Why is it concentrated in these little pinpoints? Why isn't it more diffuse? Or why don't all those pinpoints just clump together?
Yeah, why don't we have just one mega star or like a big pudding of dilute gas everywhere, right? Mm. Why is the universe the way it is and not any of those other ways?
It could have been those ways.
In some alternate multiverse, it probably is those ways. But in those multiverses, they don't have awesome podcasts to ask this question.
Yeah. Because you look at the night sky and it's beautiful, right? I mean, it's like this black void with little white pinpoints. But you got to wonder, why does it look that way?
Okay, so I have to take a digression here, an artistic question for you, Jorge.
Okay.
Which is, why do you think we find the night sky beautiful? I mean, I agree. It's gorgeous. It's the best view in the universe, right? Mm-hmm. But is it necessary that we find it beautiful? Did we evolve to find it beautiful? Is it just chance? Like, could we have evolved in a way where we look up at the night sky and we're like, yuck, that's gross?
Well, I think we have an innate appreciation for sparkly things, right? We like...
Well, all pyromaniacs?
Yeah, no. I mean, we've all evolved from liking water, maybe, or being attracted to water or sparkly water. I don't know. Sparkling water. Huh. They had Evian and Perrier back then in caveman days, right?
Yeah, I think people used to carbonate their own water back in caveman days. I'm pretty sure of that. Yeah, we should have asked that question to Ryan North when we had him on the podcast.
Oh, when did they invent sparkling water?
The greatest invention of all time, sparkling water.
That's a great question, is why are there stars and planets as opposed to just having a homogeneous.
Monochronous. Monochromatic.
I mean, like a plain universe, I guess. Why do we have stars and planets and objects and sparkly objects and things rather than we just living in a giant gas cloud?
That's right. Yeah. So that's the question we're going to try to tackle today, give you a solid answer for it. And so as usual, before we answer the question, I went out and I asked a bunch of unsuspecting UC Irvine students off the top of their head. I asked them that question.
So think about it at home or wherever you're listening, why do you think there are stars and planets and not just a smooth universe? Here's what people had to say.
Why is the universe so lumpy? Like, why isn't matter just spread out totally smoothly and evenly through the universe?
I want to say gravity.
Because there's like a certain kind of gravity putting things in place. And
okay. I have no idea.
Okay.
Gravity.
It's a result of the Big Bang. You had matter and antimatter, and they made clumps, and they kept expanding, and that's just how it occurred, at least. That's the model that I've heard.
Okay, great.
There were, at some point, areas where there was a slight greater density in, you know, in the matter in the universe, because of how gravity works. A greater density will kind of collapse it and become even greater and greater and greater density until you have a galaxy or planets or whatever.
The ions.
Ions, okay.
All right, so that's pretty interesting. I feel like you should maybe stop advertising that they're UC Irvine students, because I don't know if you're helping the marketing there.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. All these UC Irvine students are willing to stop and think about a random question from a random scruffy-looking dude and think about the universe. Like, 99% of people answer these questions. To me, they get full credit even just for trying, for thinking about it, for engaging, right? To me, that's wonderful. When we first started this project, I was sure I was going to get 1% answers. So the fact that they don't know, not a big deal. The fact that they try to answer, that's wonderful.
I think you should try it on the streets of New York next and see what kind of reaction you get. Get out of here.
Yeah, well, as you were suggesting, maybe I should go up to Caltech and see if I get more precise answers.
But everyone seems to say gravity as the answer to the question.
Yeah, everybody says gravity. And I think that comes from everybody's feeling correctly that gravity plays a big role, right? Mm-hmm. Gravity is the thing that made these structures. Gravity is what's responsible for holding a star together. Gravity controls the shape of the galaxy. Gravity certainly plays a big role.
Mm-hmm. But I guess the twist is that it's not the only thing you need to make stars, right? Gravity only clumps things together if you already have small clumps to begin with, right?
That's right. Gravity is not the complete answer. If you had a universe that was totally smooth, right, completely smooth, then gravity couldn't do anything. Because each particle in the universe would be pulled both left and right with equal force, because there'd be equal amounts of stuff on both sides of it. And so every object would be sort of like pinned down by gravity, but it couldn't form any structures, right? So gravity can't make lumps. It can only exaggerate lumps once you've gotten a little bit started.
Wait, paint that picture a little bit more for me. So let's imagine a perfectly smooth universe, meaning that all the particles in the universe are kind of at the same distance from each other as every other particle in the universe.
Exactly. So imagine, you know, every particle is on a grid, right? And you have one particle every centimeter or something, right? So
so it's like a perfectly exact grid. Every particle is 1 centimeter apart from the next particle.
Exactly. And if you're thinking this is strange and artificial, it's actually very simple, right? And it's very natural. The opposite idea that there's one place where there's particles are closer together or they're denser or something, that's strange. That's unusual. That would be like, well, why there and not here? So having a perfectly smooth, symmetric universe as a starting point actually makes the most sense. It's the most natural concept.
Like a perfect jelly or like a perfect crystal.
Yeah, exactly. Like a perfectly smooth chocolate pudding with no lumps in it, right?
So if the universe is infinite, you're saying that cloud of perfectly ordered particles would not clump together.
Exactly. So take one random particle, right? And it doesn't matter which one you choose, because we set this up so that all the particles are exactly the same. So pick one random particle. Now that particle is going to get pulled on by all the other particles in the universe due to gravity and other forces. But let's just think about gravity right now. Now there's an infinite number of particles pulling it to the left and an infinite number of particles pulling it to the right.
And up and down too, right?
Exactly. And in any way you slice it, you get the same answer, right? You divide the universe into two halves around this particle, and one half of the universe is pulling it one way, the other half is pulling it the other way. It exactly balances out. It cancels perfectly, right? It's like if you have two kids and each one is pulling on one arm, you're not going anywhere, right?
Does that happen to you often?
That's a random hypothetical I just invented. It's not that I have two kids who often have totally different ideas about what we should do.
Or where they want to go or where they want to eat.
That's right. And so in this scenario, every particle is in equilibrium, right? There's no way to begin lumpiness because everything is being tugged equally left and right, or up and down, or, you know, back and forth.
So you would, the universe would just sit there. It would just stay static. It wouldn't move, right? Like it would just stay there forever because every particle would just be perfectly balanced where it is.
Exactly. It's like if you put a ball in the bottom of a bowl, right? It's just going to sit there. It's not going to go anywhere, right? And that's exactly the situation of each of those particles. They're sitting in the bottom of a bowl. That bowl is the gravitational well made by all the other particles in the universe.
Right.
And so if the universe is infinite, then you can apply the same argument to every particle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you start out with an infinite, smooth universe, then you can't get any structure. You can't start to build anything.
Hold on. You said that if that's only if the universe is infinite. But what happens if you have this perfect jelly and the universe is finite, meaning that it at some point ends?
Yeah, well, then this argument doesn't apply because this some point, because then this argument only applies to the very center of the universe, right? Then if the universe is finite, that means that it has a center, right? That there's some place where there's an equal amount of stuff to the left and to the right and up and down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this argument would only apply right there.
Right.
But if you go to the edge of all that stuff, right? This is, again, assuming the universe is finite. If you go to the edge of all that stuff, the argument doesn't hold anymore. You have more stuff on one side than on the other. So in the scenario of a finite universe,
what would
everything would be attracted towards the center.
Everything would be attracted towards the center. So all the particles would just go towards the center. And then what would happen?
Man, I think you would get like a huge star or a massive black hole, or it would be a pretty crazy party.
Wow. Yeah. So the universe would be just one star or one black hole.
I'm not 100% sure because that would be pretty complicated. But I think, yeah, you would end up with one really big blob of matter. And it would be, you know, it wouldn't be completely compressed into a point because matter resists being compressed. And if it was spinning, right, then that keeps it from being compressed further. I don't know if anybody's really studied what would happen if you just like had a huge universe-sized blob of finite matter and then let it collapse. That'd be fascinating.
So it would be kind of this one, just one, not two, not three, just one giant lump of stuff.
That's right. And even in that scenario where the universe is perfectly smooth but finite, right, you can't get any asymmetries. Everything has to be perfectly balanced in every direction, right?
Wow.
Yes, you have a center, so everything's attracted towards the center, but you can't like make stars clumping along the way as they're getting dragged towards the center. It still has to be perfectly smooth because it's the same in every direction, right? In order to get the kind of structure that we see when we look at the night sky, we have like a star here and no star there, and
or
a galaxy here
and
no galaxy there. Those are asymmetries, right? That's a structure.
It's a lump.
Yeah, it's a lump in the universe, exactly.
So that's obviously not the universe we're in. We're not in a perfectly smooth jelly universe, and we're not living in one giant, singular, super cluster of stuff. We live in this kind of a stranger universe, right?
And thank God we do, right? I mean, it would be pretty boring to live in an infinitely smooth pudding or even just have like one big star.
Living in a perfect jelly seems pretty peaceful to me.
Again, I think you should have a snack before we do these podcasts, Jorge. Otherwise, you tend towards these food analogies that I think just reflect what you're feeling rather than what you're thinking.
Well, let's get into how lumpy the universe is and how it got that way. But first, let's take a quick break. All right, so we don't live in a perfectly smooth universe, and we don't live in a universe that's just one giant cluster, black hole, / star. That's not the universe we live in, right? We are actually in a very lumpy universe.
Yeah, and the universe, the structure of the universe is really fascinating. We should dig into it really deeply in another podcast episode and talk about it and why it is this way and that way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just review briefly sort of where we are in the universe,
right.
the status of the lumps,
right?
The level of lumpiness of the universe.
Yeah. So we are sitting here on Earth, presumably.
That's right. We are two lumps on a rock.
Yeah. Presumably, most of our listeners are on Earth.
And if you're not, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not on Earth, we really want to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. But we are in a big rock, round rock, going around a sun, a star, and that's our solar system, right?
And even that is super lumpy. I mean, from the point of view of like how smooth is stuff distributed, you know, people are probably familiar with how far away the sun is. It's, you know, it takes a time for light to even get there. It's minutes and minutes and minutes, right? And the sun itself is a huge blob of matter, but it's super far away. You know, the size of the Earth is enormous and the size of the sun is enormous, but the size of the distance between them dwarfs both of them.
Right.
So even just the solar system is really, really lumpy in that sense that the matter is concentrated and not spread out.
Right. And then our solar system is inside of a galaxy, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's even lumpier from that point of view, right? Like the distance between stars is huge compared to the size of the stars.
And it has some sort of structure, right? Like the galaxy has spirals and it's kind of thicker and more dense in the middle, right? There's some structure at that scale too.
Yeah, the galaxy told me it doesn't like when you talk about its thickening waistline, Jorge.
It's lumpiness.
But it's true. It's true.
No, it's sparkly. I'm talking about its sparkliness.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful, the Milky Way. Yeah, exactly. We got all these stars, 100 billions of stars, but they're not just a blob, right? They're not just distributed evenly, although for a long time people thought that's what happened. But no, we know that they're arranged in this amazing swirl pattern, right? Mm-hmm. We have the center of the galaxy, and then we have these arms that come out. And because it's rotating, those arms sort of drag behind it.
Right.
And you get this amazing swirl.
And then you can keep going, like the galaxy is part of a supercluster of galaxies, and that's super...
No, you missed one.
Oh, what?
You missed one. The galaxy is part of a cluster of galaxies, right?
Oh.
And when we talk about a cluster, we mean things that are gravitationally bound to each other, that essentially are orbiting each other over billions and billions of years.
Oh. So and ours is called the local group, right? Like our cluster of galaxies is very imaginatively called the local group.
I know. That sounds like a temporary name somebody came up with, like, oh, I need to call this something and talk to my advisor. And then it just stuck. And they're like, dang it, I should have named it after my dog.
What's the opposite of local? Like not local,
basically just
not
means,
here.
It means the galaxies near us, right?
Mm.
It's a pretty lame name. So that's the cluster.
It's good to know our galaxy cluster is green and, you know, local. Sources locally.
That's right. That's right. I don't think it's vegan, but at least it's local, right?
It's stellar.
Yeah, exactly.
Our galaxy is part of a structure with other galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
Even that cluster is part of another structure in the universe, right?
Yeah, they call those superclusters. Mm-hmm. And these are basically clusters of clusters, right?
Another imaginative name.
Uh-huh. And again, you might ask, like, are these totally arbitrary? Are you just making this up? Could you have organized it differently? The answer is no. There is some science behind it. We think about how these groups operate, you know, and essentially a supercluster is not just a really, really big cluster. It's a cluster of clusters, meaning that each cluster inside a supercluster is gravitationally bound to itself, and then those things themselves are gravitationally bound to each other, and that's what makes the supercluster.
They're sort of trapped in a sort of gravitational bubble almost.
Yeah, the way like, you know, the Earth and the Moon are a gravitational system, right, which is embedded inside the solar system, which is embedded inside the galaxy, right? You might say it's arbitrary to define whether or not the Moon is part of the Earth system or the solar system, but it really makes much more sense to consider the Earth to be part of our system and then the solar system to be part of the galaxy,
right,
rather than just say like, oh, it's all one big galaxy. So that's why we get these hierarchies. And it's amazing that we have these hierarchies, you know, and like also because you can zoom down, right? You get like down to the atom and things are orbiting and stuff. Mm. So we have this over incredibly different distances from microscopic to what, megascopic. We have similar structures of things orbiting each other, right? On these large scales.
It's like an infinite Russian doll. You can stack them up almost infinitely, it seems.
Yeah, but infinite, we don't know, right? Mm. We talked about that another time. Like we think the universe probably has a smallest scale. And when we talk about the structure of the galaxy, the structure of the universe in another podcast episode, we'll talk about the biggest structures in the universe, right, which is a whole other fascinating topic.
You can keep going and there are bigger structures, right?
Well, there's a point where they stop.
Yeah. Oh, at some point they stop?
At some point they stop.
There's an end to the Russian doll, as far as we know.
There is. There's a largest Russian doll, yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, but that's a topic for another day. Let's talk about why we have structure.
Yeah, the point is that there is structure, right? Like we're not in a smooth universe and we're not just one giant lump. There is like texture to the universe, right? There's features. There's things to look at.
There's good stuff to see, exactly. And as our UCI question answerers earlier said gravity is responsible for forming those things, but gravity couldn't start those structures, right? That was the point we were making earlier.
Yeah.
So the point is that gravity can't make lumps. Mm. Once you start a lump, gravity will accelerate. It's like a chain reaction, right?
Right.
Once you have one point that's denser than everything else, it'll have a stronger gravitational pull and it'll start to attract stuff and then it'll get heavier and have a stronger gravitational pull and it'll feed on itself.
Right.
But if everything is smooth, then you can't. So the question is, so gravity can make lumps bigger, but the question really comes down to where do the first lumps come from?
Mm. It's kind of like gravity can roll a snowball down a hill, but it can't sort of start the snowball rolling.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Like once it's rolling, it gets bigger and lumpier, but you need some sort of something to get that snowball going.
Yeah, you have to knock it out of equilibrium to get it to get things snowballing. Exactly.
Okay. All right, so how did the universe get lumps? How is it not perfectly smooth or one giant lump?
So that was a big mystery for a long time, right? Because it's very natural to think that the universe started symmetrically. Mm-hmm. I think probably the most popular model for how the universe started is that the universe is infinite and that it has infinite amount of matter in it and that was created in the first moments, right? That we don't understand at all. But not understanding it means we want to start with the simplest idea, okay? Now, it's not very simple to imagine the creation of an infinite universe with infinite amount of stuff in it. But if you're going to go there, it makes more sense to say that the universe starts out smooth. That's where this idea of smoothness comes from,
right?
Like simplicity. Because the opposite, like, oh, that the universe was created with some initial lumpiness, that's weird, because then you have to ask, why this lumpiness?
Right.
Why not that lumpiness? Who made that choice, right?
Right.
And so it was a big puzzle for a long time. And there's really only one way that we know of that you can make lumpiness out of smoothness. There's only one thing in physics that's capable of doing that.
Meaning there's only one thing that can add features to something that should be perfectly plain.
That's right. What you need there is something that's not deterministic, something which has a random element to it, right? Because if every particle in the universe starts in the same situation, then they should all have the same future. What you need is to distinguish them somehow, for this one to have a different future than that one, for this one to have a different experience somehow. The only thing we know that can do that, that can break determinism, is quantum mechanics, because quantum mechanics has real randomness in it.
Is that the source then of randomness in the universe? Like without quantum mechanics, we would all be perfectly smooth?
Yeah, exactly. But there's still another puzzle, right? So quantum mechanics gives you randomness.
Right.
But, you know, quantum mechanics is not something you notice. You don't, like, drive around and notice random stuff happening from quantum mechanics.
Like, my phone is here. It's not here and there.
That's right. I mean, maybe your bank account seems to fluctuate randomly, but there actually is an explanation, you know?
My bank account could use more physics for sure.
I'm a quantum mechanic accountant.
I'm a quantum accountant.
Exactly. And that's why quantum mechanics took such a long time to discover, because people thought the universe was deterministic. They thought two particles in the same situation would always have the same future.
Oh, I see. There's no reason for them to be different. Like if you create a universe without quantum mechanics, there's no reason for all the particles to be different. There's nothing that gives it that initial randomness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The problem is that quantum mechanics is a tiny amount of randomness, right? It's at the particle scale. Mm-hmm. It's super duper small, right? These tiny little fluctuations. And what are we talking about concretely? We're talking about like particles being created out of the vacuum. Quantum mechanics can do that. It can take energy and just turn it into particles, and then they can turn back into energy. Or, you know, this particle can have a chance to go left or right, and, you know, maybe this one goes left and another one goes right, this kind of stuff. It's really, really tiny effects, not really enough to get gravity going, because gravity is super duper weak, right? Gravity needs more than the tiniest little discrepancy,
right?
Even if you give it billions of years.
But the kicker is that the universe used to be small, right? That's the twist ending, is that the universe used to be really tiny and small.
That's right. And so the very first moments of the universe were super dramatic. What happened in the first moments of the universe was inflation. Inflation is this idea that the universe used to be much denser and then it got stretched out. It got inflated, right? And this is not stuff moving through space. This is the actual expansion of space itself, meaning things got stretched, right? More space was made. Everything got inflated and blown up. What that means is that the microscopic became macroscopic.
Well, step us through this. So you're saying this all goes back to the Big Bang, right?
Everything goes back to the Big Bang. In the end, you can blame everything on the Big Bang.
Yeah, technically, I guess, yeah.
Officer, I was speeding because the Big Bang, ... I was speeding.
Et cetera, yeah. Blame the universe.
Yada, 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 I was speeding.
Quantum mechanics.
That gets me out of every ticket, trust me.
Before we keep going, let's take a short break. Yeah, so the universe used to be very, very small, and that's where quantum mechanics played a big role, right?
Yeah, and be careful when you say universe used to be very small, because mm-hmm. we're still saying the universe was infinite, right? And an infinite amount of stuff in it, but it was denser, right? It used to be more squished when it was created. And then all that stuff was stretched out due to inflation.
Oh, I see.
So it's like an infinite ruler getting stretched. It's still infinite, right?
I see. So you're saying that the features we see in the universe today are really just the quantum features that we used to have when we were denser, not smaller. But now when inflation happened at the Big Bang, everything, all these small fluctuations got way, way bigger.
Yeah, it's like in Ant-Man, right? Where he can make things much, much bigger, right? Ants can be enormous, and then they can do construction projects, and you can ride in the back of a butterfly and cool stuff. Take the microscopic and make it macroscopic, right? Mm. So the timeline is, the universe is created perfectly smooth,
right?
Little quantum fluctuations happen, a little bit this, one particle moves a little bit this way, and one particle moves a little bit that way. Then inflation takes over and blows that up, right? Inflates it, makes those tiny little fluctuations into bigger fluctuations, enough to seed gravity, and then gravity takes over for the next 14 billion years, yada, 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 I was speeding.
Officer.
I'm telling you, that story works every time.
Yeah, they probably fall asleep before you finish, in which case exactly. You can just drive off.
Oh, another physics professor. Just let him go.
So you're saying the universe used to be small or denser, and everything was smoother at that scale, except that if we didn't have quantum mechanics, but we still had inflation, then we would have exploded the universe or expanded the universe, and it would remain smooth.
Yes, exactly. It would remain smooth.
Because we had those quantum fluctuations, that little bit of randomness at the beginning gave the universe texture.
Exactly. And those little fluctuations were random, right? And they could have been different. Different random throws of the universe dice, and we would have a completely different structure. I mean, I think the kinds of structures we would have would still be the same. We would still have galaxies and stars, whatever, but they would be arranged differently. Mm. So you might ask, why do we have a galaxy here and not there? And you can trace the answer to that all the way back to one little particle fluctuating milliseconds after the Big Bang. If it fluctuated this way, we get this galaxy. If it fluctuated that way, we get a different galaxy. We're in the same galaxy in a different place.
Wow. That you said that provided the seeds for the structure, meaning it would have, when it expanded, it would have been smooth, but it had these kind of slightly small shades of a texture, and those mm-hmm. shades became exaggerated by gravity, and then things started to clump around those little shades of texture.
Exactly. And we can see this. We can look back in time and we can see this progression happening. Like if you look back deep, deep into the history of the universe, you see the first light that we can see, which comes from about 380,000 years after the Big Bang. It's the cosmic microwave background. We've talked about it a few times. This light is really, really smooth. It's almost the same no matter where you look at it. It's like the same color, the same temperature, whatever. Mm. But if you measure it really carefully, then you can see little variations, tiny little fractions of colder and hotter spots. Oh. Those, that took 400,000 years just to get that far, right? Those are the seeds from this quantum fluctuations exaggerated by gravity for 400,000 years.
Right.
Then propagated forward in time, give gravity another few billion years, and you start to get things like stars and galaxies and all that stuff.
Right.
But we can see these quantum fluctuations from the early universe. It's like the pattern that made our cosmos.
Wow. Was totally random.
It was totally random, exactly. Wow. And we think quantum mechanics is truly random, right? Not like there's some hidden process that's controlling it that we don't understand. We think it's really, truly random. As mind-blowing as it is for anything in the universe to be honestly, truly random, it is. And it affects our universe's structure at the deepest level, right?
Wow. It's amazing to think that the reason you and I are here, or the whole Earth is here, or the whole sun and our solar system, or even maybe even our galaxy is here, is just the random fluctuation of one little tiny particle way back in the Big Bang.
Yeah. It's the truth, man. The truth is stranger than fiction. That's why I'm a physicist, because, you know, the universe will always alarm you. The universe is like weirder and hotter and nastier and crazier and stranger than anything a human could ever invent.
Right. Well, it depends on how crazy and weird you are, but...
And how hot and wet you are.
That's a whole different podcast here.
So I'll have to play this podcast for my son, but that basically answers his question, right? Like, why do we have stars and not just a smooth distribution of matter? You need two elements. You need quantum mechanics to give you any fluctuation to avoid the smoothness.
To break the balance.
Exactly, to break the balance. And then you need inflation to blow it up so that it matters and that gravity can then take over. So it's a complicated dance.
So gravity takes these small fluctuations and basically exacerbates them, right? It makes them... lumpier and clumpier than it started.
Yeah, but remember, gravity can only take little lumps and make them into bigger lumps, right? It can't make lumps if something's totally smooth.
All right.
Thanks to everyone for listening to this lumpy episode and for listening to my long explanation to my son's short question.
Yeah, and whether you're a movie star like Tom Cruise or just a scruffy physicist, if you have any questions, or lumpy or smooth, or hot.
Why is that
wet?
An or? Why do you have to be a movie star or a scruffy physicist? Are you saying you can't be both?
No, you can totally be both. Totally, yeah.
Don't ask me for a counterexample. I can't think of one.
Maybe in another random role of the universe.
That's right. Why are you not a movie star, Dad? Quantum mechanics.
So whether you are any of these things, if you have any questions, you can write us.
And feedback@danielandjorge.com. We love getting your email. We love answering questions on Twitter. So get in touch. Send us your thoughts.
And so the next time you look out into the night sky and you see all those sparkly stars, just think, everything is there. You are there because of the one random particle.
But you still have to pay your taxes.
And your speeding tickets.
Unless you can talk your way out of them. Ha! If you still have a question after listening to all these explanations, please drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Daniel and Jorge, that's one word, or email us at feedback@danielandjorge.com.